Welcome to the world of Pokemakers.
I'm Professor Fierce.
And I'm Professor Fierce.
But if that's too confusing, you can call us
JD
and Alex.
For some people, Pokemon are pets.
Others use them for battle.
We're here to create all new Pokemon
and a world for them to inhabit.
Last time we had Gwen on as a guest and we made companion Sylvia, a cute cooking grandma.
And we also made her signature Pokemon, a convergent evolution of the Knackly line, Noli, Coconoli, and Garganoli, a fairy to fairy dark line.
This time, you may have been expecting another guest episode.
So were we!
If you've been following the patterns of how we do guests, and that guest episode is coming, but we have some technical difficulties. So we're recording a last minute desperate episode and hoping we get it to you on time. Today, we're going to talk about Pokemon Marble and Bronze's rival characters. So let's go over to the Fame Checker. So we've already discussed this because we got to get the ball rolling.
High speed episode.
High octane action. When we make jokes about high octane. We've mentioned before, I believe, that we were going to have two rivals.
Mm-hmm.
One to take each of the branching story paths that you're not focused on, essentially.
Yeah.
So let's briefly talk about what kind of characters they are, and then we'll talk about the role they'll play ultimately in the plot. We've got ideas for two characters.
And since these are things that we've already discussed, we got names already right out the gate. I had an idea for name theming, and that I wanted to name them pastas.
Or rather, name them after
name
pastas.
Name them after pastas. Not... Specifically, yeah, this is pastas and pastas.
This is my rival, spaghetti, and my other rival, rigatoni.
Well, no, rigatoni is the one that I wanted, is the thing.
Right,
rigatoni.
I shouldn't have used that as the example, but you put it in my head!
Rigatoni, and then they go by Tony for short. Like, Tony's their name, but their full name is Rigatoni.
Now... I'm okay with them being named Tony.
You don't want their actual name to be Rigatoni?
No.
I thought that's what...
No, that's too silly.
So?
It's short for, like, Antonio.
In my heart, it's short for Rigatoni.
He is named after Rigatoni by us.
Okay, fine, whatever.
In the same, many characters are named after plants in Pokemon. We've talked about that a lot before.
Yeah.
But apart from the professors, aren't necessarily just the plants.
Sure. Consider, have a little whimsy in your heart. Ratatouille has a main character named Linguini.
Okay.
That's a pasta noodle.
Okay, that's also silly.
Yeah, silly is fun.
Okay.
I like silly.
I like Tony.
All right, so Rigatoni, or Tony.
Tony, with Tony.
And the other name suggestion I had was Penny, essentially Penny, but we just had a character in Scarlet Violet named Penny.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. Because you were suggesting, oh, what if they go by Pen for short? And I was like, okay, but what if we just add the Y and call them Penny, an actual name? Oh, yeah, that's a character.
Yeah, I can't do that. But you did find another suggestion.
Yeah, we did more pasta research. And I found Ziti as a type of pasta and Zita as an Italian name. There was also an Italian saint.
So yeah.
Zita. Most of the names we tend to go with, partly because of self-insurance and partly because it's names we know, end up being very westernized names, very anglicized names.
Yeah.
Pokemon likes very atypical names, like Grusha. I can't get over Grusha.
Yeah.
That's nothing. But you know what's not nothing? Zita.
Yeah.
So Zita will be a rival who is a girl, and Antoni will be a rival who is not a girl.
Some might say a boy.
Sometimes, not necessarily.
Yeah, unclear.
So, who are Zita and Tony? Also, if it's Antonio as the full name, then you got A to Z.
That's fun.
Yeah. Especially with Pokemon Legends Zar coming. Maybe it's Z to A.
Legends Pizza.
Pokemon Legends ZA. Italy confirm.
Rivals, having two of them, it feels easy to have one that's a little bit more antagonistic and one that's a little bit more friendly.
Your traditional rival who is actually a rival, who is competitive and wants to beat you and be the best.
Mm-hmm.
You're blue, mostly.
Yeah, and that was going to be Zita.
Because there's never really been a more antagonistic female rival.
There's Nimona in Scarlet Violet.
But she's not antagonistic.
She's not antagonistic.
She's competitive,
yeah.
But not antagonistic. She's not trying to put you down in any slight way.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, someone who's a bit more, I'm gonna
rough around
you.
The edges.
Yeah, so that's gonna be Zita's personality, and then Tony is gonna be a bit more laid back.
A soft boy.
A soft boy.
boy with an eye.
Do love a soft boy.
Yeah.
One thing I was thinking about having a more competitive rival character as well is the comparison between that and our villain character,
mm-hmm.
and how our villain is essentially trying to gain prestige, trying to become a name that will not be forgotten, put themselves in history. And essentially, this rival is doing the same thing. She wants to be known for something. She wants to make a difference.
Make an impact.
Yeah, make an impact in whatever course of studies that she's in. She wants to be remembered, but going about it in a not evil way. Like, so like that kind of like dichotomy of like, here's someone who is also very ambitious and very driven to have like a particular goal, but not a villain, versus here's the villain. Here's where they went wrong.
When I was thinking about this before, I was thinking about more Team Royal, but you're obviously talking much more about Dr. Song with his ambition to be remembered.
Yes, specifically.
Yes.
And the fact that they are both tied to the museum and they both have similar goals and mindsets, but the vast difference of how that can take a person.
I bet we could get a fun little scene where they interact with each other and,
yeah.
and contrast their goals.
That would be, yeah. I just, I love seeing characters with like similar sort of mindsets, but like in very different ways. I think that's a fun juxtaposition.
Let's talk about what they look like.
Sure. We'll stick with Zita.
Yeah.
My thoughts are that she is very put together. Again, she's like very competitive.
In this context, that means being very professional and very...
Yes.
Yes.
She's an academic. She's here to study. She wants to be taken seriously. So she is dressed nice, button up, like slacks. Mm-hmm. Obviously, everyone in this intern course wears a lab coat. So like they'll get lab coats.
The museum. Everyone gets a lab coat.
No one in museums wears lab coats.
Yeah, but it's cool.
I agree. But they get lab coats.
But they're research interns at the museum.
Yeah. Now in the field, they probably don't necessarily wear the lab coat.
Yeah. It's when they come back to do their research.
Yeah.
At the research museum.
All their paperwork they need a lab coat for.
Yeah. Well, their science, art, and history.
Yeah. Anyway, so she's very put together. Hair probably neat, wavy.
Yeah, like, I like it being a little bit longer because it's not like she needs to have it short or tied back or anything like that. She's not doing chemical research in this lab or anything like that.
And it's styled hair. It's not like she just left it straight out of the shower. She's curled it and sprayed it to make it stay perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, she is very on top of it.
I like that she sprayed it to make sure it keeps in shape so that she can still have that shape whilst out in the field.
Yeah.
What about Tony?
Tony's got, I think, very much the other end of the spectrum. Much more casual, much more comfortable.
Which, in and of itself, is also, thinking about it practically, he's planning to go out in the field to do research. You want to be wearing comfortable clothes in an environment
absolutely.
Like that.
Like, neither one of them are in the wrong here. They're just, they're taking very different approaches to their course of study. So he's wearing good walking shoes, comfortable shorts. They're comfy and easy to wear.
Youngster Joey's all grown up.
Yeah, either like a polo or a button-up shirt. Something like maybe kind of professional, but much more comfy professional.
Mm-hmm. They're comfy and professional to wear.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got the semi-formal shorts. Yeah.
It reminds me of a Futurama line. Even in these formal shorts, I feel like a failure.
Yeah.
His formal shorts. So we've got some idea about how they're going to interact with you. But of course, it's also worth mentioning, these two are potential love interests.
Yeah.
You can date your rival.
Yes.
You can date the antagonistic rival.
I will.
Make her a tsundere. You can date the soft boy. You can date many characters.
Can I date both of them?
Not in Pokemon, no. That's Persona's territory.
But they both sound cute.
Then you'll have to play the game more than once.
Oh.
Or you'll have to play both games and get the version exclusives.
But I also want to date Liberty.
Then you'll have to play it more than once.
And also I want to date Giada.
Welcome to enjoying a Pokemon game. Pouring out for my boy Graham.
I date Graham.
He didn't make your list of top four.
I couldn't remember his name. I do love a rival, though. Let me date a rival.
And they were rivals.
They were rivals.
So throughout the game, you'll have various encounters. These are going to be the characters you spend the most time with right at the beginning of the game, when you're going out and doing like those test jobs that we discussed, like those
tutorial type stuff.
Yeah, you can have little battles with them at that point because you'll have chosen your starters. Oh,
they'll give you your like practice battle.
So obviously, it needs to be said, but we haven't said it. Zita would therefore pick the Pokemon that is stronger against yours.
Yes.
While Tony would get the one that is weak. weaker against yours.
Yes.
And so you'll get through those tutorial battles early on, and just at this point, before you've chosen which path you're working for, the story would remain the same either way. But once you choose your path, they will also choose their paths, and their path will depend on what your path is, because it'll be a full rotated triangle. It won't be that just Zeta always does the gym path.
Yeah.
If you're doing the gym path, Zeta would do the contest, and therefore Tony would do the outbreaks. If you're doing the contests, Zeta would do the outbreaks, and Tony would do the gyms.
Yeah.
So if you're doing the outbreaks, Zeta would do the gyms, and Tony would do the contests.
It rotates around the same way that, depending on which starter you pick, they pick different things.
Yeah, and whoever ends up doing the contests will get some sort of sparkly, spangly outfit to wear for that.
Yeah.
But as we've discussed before, you get the chance to mix into those other parts as well. And so in this case, what that looks like is, because obviously you need to get an invite for both paths, so maybe around the second of one path and the third of another path, you get a call from each rival in turn saying, hey, I could actually use a little bit of help with this thing. Could you come and lend a hand? And whether that's taking on a contest, a gym, or an outbreak, in which case you would be acting as their partner because your partners would help you with the outbreaks.
Yeah.
So you just fill that role for them. So you show up, you help them out, and then afterwards they're like, hey, thanks for the support. I know obviously you're working on your path, but if you want to check out more of the gyms, the contests, the outbreaks, feel free to do so.
Yeah. I know your field of research is, you know, what you're focused on, but it doesn't hurt to have a little bit of cross-referencing.
It's like, before that point, you wouldn't have the opportunity to go and try the other paths, but that's when it unlocks that you can go and explore much more widely.
Yeah.
Still following the same criteria to, like, unlock more outbreaks, for instance, as if that's your main path. They'll show up at key story moments, they'll challenge you to battles, they'll challenge you to a battle before you get the chance to try out their path, essentially.
Oh, yeah, you gotta prove to them.
Yeah. I know I said that I can't beat this gym, but if you want to have a chance of taking on this gym, you'll have to beat me first. Because that's Pokemon logic for you.
Yeah.
And then later in the game, they'll show up in key moments, other key battles. They'll be involved in, like, the climax of the battle. You know which game had a really fun way of handling that? Diamond and Pearl and Platinum and Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, where you've got yourself, your rival Barry, and the opposite gender player, Dawn or Lucas. The three of you are then sent off to investigate each of the three lakes that houses Mesprit, Azelf, and Uxie. So, like, you're being split up, and it would be fun if, at some point, if we have a little moment that's similar to that, where some particular event is going on in the game that requires all three of you to be working together, but in different places, and you're all sent off to do something along those lines.
Yeah.
Naturally involving you then need to go out and help up the other two players. Oh, and you can have, like, little encounters with the other Team Royal admins, where the rival who's on the path that that admin is attacking is also there to help out and say, oh yeah, this is so-and-so. They're a member of Team Royal that I've been dealing with.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily fight them all the time, but they'll show up in, like, moments like that. That'll be the first chance you get to meet some of those admins, perhaps.
Yeah.
Until they then later show up in major Team Royal events that are the same no matter what path you're on.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And then at some point in the game, you'll get the opportunity to ask them out on a little datey. You'll get to go to the Christmas fair with them. And cute things.
Unless you're dating someone else.
Of course, unless you're dating someone else. And that's about all there is to say about the rivals.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that about sums that up. So I guess it's time for Who's That Pokemon?
I've got a Pokemon idea to present to you that is pretty much fully formed in my mind that I thought I was going to have to wait quite a bit longer to share with you. So I'm not too unhappy that I get the chance to bring that up here, because I really like this idea and I think you're going to like it too.
Go for it.
I'm going to combine a fun, unique, interesting animal with a particular Italian literary reference.
Okay.
So the animal I want to work on is a new Ray Pokemon, a new Manta Ray, like Mantine. I want to make a new Pokemon that is based on the Devil Ray.
Oh.
The Devil Ray is just another member of that family of rays. And I want to combine that with Dante, writer of the Divine Comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And inspiration for things like the game Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff to do with hell and the devil.
Oh, they got those little horn shapes.
They do. Well, that's why they're called Devil Rays. The Devil Rays in particular are the ones who have parts of their bodies that very much made people think of the devil when they first saw it. So I'm going to take Dante and a ray and give you a Dante Ray.
Dante Ray.
Like a Manta Ray. Yeah, Dante. Yeah. It's a Devil Ray and a Dante and put the things together.
It's good. That's good.
Inferno is a Pokemon move.
Yeah.
Which this Pokemon can get.
Yeah.
It's a fire type move.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. This is a fish.
Yes.
But does that make it a water type? I've been debating about what type it should be. Dark is obvious.
Yeah.
It's a devil.
Yeah.
Should it be dark fire or dark water? If we go dark fire, are we doing that just to be quirky and different with our fish? Or if we go dark water, are we being kind of
basic
with our fish? Of course, Pokemon has of course already gone dark fire with Chiyu, another fish in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Yeah. So there's precedent there. Yeah. I think it could go either way, and maybe we need to talk a little bit more about other factors to this Pokemon to decide what's best to go with that. For what it's worth, at time of recording, we have more fire types than water types.
Leaning water, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Water is not necessarily, like, not spooky. Like, stuff from, like, the depths of the ocean is just as horrifying as stuff from the depths of hell. Like,
yeah. It's more just that, like, it's kind of fun and interesting. I'm also thinking about how to make sure we differentiate this from Mantine. Because I don't want it to be too similar to the one existing
Ray Pokemon line. Water flying?
Water flying, yeah. So, Dark already changes up at least somewhat. Dark fire would just be completely different.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with it being dark water.
This is my main idea for this, but I think you've got an idea for giving this an interesting and unique first stage.
Yeah.
That evolves into this Pokemon.
Yeah, when you proposed this idea, it was just a single stage, which, like, that's totally makes sense.
Yeah. Mantine was originally a single stage.
Yeah. But if you had wanted to add a pre-evolution specifically, various types of rays, as well as sharks and some other animals, create these egg cases.
Also known as an egg capsule, or with a cutesy name, a mermaid's purse.
Yeah, they're often referred to as mermaid's purse. And they are funky looking.
They are freaky. They called this a mermaid's purse? This is a spooky bug thing.
It looks like it's got like handles.
It looks like an insect or a crab.
It does get, it's got like long.
It's a Tide Pod.
Things.
It's a Tide Pod.
With tentacles.
But each corner has things coming off of it.
Like long, spindly.
Also, it's a black Tide Pod.
Yeah. It's very hard to describe it. Google like manta ray eggs.
It's a Tide Pod. I just described it.
How are you gonna describe the things sticking off of it?
We just did, as things sticking off of it.
It's not very specific.
Anyway, this is such a unique and curious and interesting thing that it absolutely could be used to draw for an interesting Pokemon design. Mm-hmm. Just slap a face on that thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it swims around, I guess.
Yeah, you don't really have to change the look of it very much because it's so funky already.
Yeah, well,
give me some little horns.
Well, that's the thing. Like, following in the whole devil aspect of this and what rays ended up becoming, just the things coming off of it just naturally have them shaped as horns.
Uh-huh.
You don't even need to change that up. Yeah. They'll end up looking a little bit like claws if you're not careful, because it's also a funky crab thing.
I mean, carcinization comes for us all.
Tell that to Crabuto.
Crab region.
And I've got another name suggestion I really like that may or may not work for this funky little pod doodah. A major genus of rays that includes not manta rays, but I believe does cover devil rays, is Mobula. That's the name of the genus that devil ray falls under, Mobula.
Fascinating.
Diabula.
Ooh.
Diablo and Mobula.
Ooh.
Diabula. That's really good.
That is really good.
I don't need you to tell me it's good. I know that's a good name.
What was the other name?
Dante Ray, because it's Dante and...
Yeah.
And a manta ray.
Dang.
What?
They would both be...
Better for the final, the actual ray, yes. Yeah. I realize that.
They're both very good.
I think you can get away with calling this little baby thing Diabula.
Yeah?
Why not?
I was gonna say that sounds like the bigger evolution, if anything.
Compared to Dante Ray?
But it's not really a ray, is it?
That's the thing. It is a Mobula genus.
Yeah.
It's the right genus still. It still covers the basics of it.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like, I mean, maybe the first stage isn't purely the egg case then. Maybe it's partly based on the egg case, but also it's still array. Like, more just you replace the main, like, add little wings to the side of this thing.
So
replace the main body of the ray with this egg case, which works for where you're positioning this, but still clearly have the egg case there. Maybe the wings aren't even physically the body yet. Maybe they are water or fire. Even if it's a water type, maybe they're fire and it's just playing around with that.
That's something. I was going to ask if there are any abilities that we could give it to make it either semi-water type or semi-fire.
I mean, we've got our sea legs ability from Ulsei and Gastrodon and Gondalai, but I think it probably does make more sense to go with dark water and then give it some potentially fun fire type aspects to its design. Give it a really fun move to use in Inferno, a move I don't believe that any non-fire type currently has access to.
Yeah, but this one's special.
It would be special. It's a special attack. Mischievous and Miss Magius get it as an egg move. Or as a special move, not even an egg move, only from the dream world, which is no longer accessible. Yeah. And that ghosts get fire stuff all the time.
Yeah,
so give it access to this unique move, and then we dip into ability space to bring out some of those aspects.
Yeah.
For instance, based on the fact we want this to have Inferno as a good move, it's going to end up being a special attacker.
Yeah.
And there are several fun abilities that can work with that. One being Flare Boost. The signature ability of Drifblim and Drifloon, which boosts their special attack when they are burned. Guts is a very common ability that a lot of Pokemon have that boosts physical attack when it has any status condition.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some other abilities that work with like Poison, but this is a unique ability that works with these guys when burned, just on those two. And that could be interesting. Like,
it is
powered up by having fire on its body.
Yeah.
Even at its own expense.
Yeah.
That's pretty devilish.
That is.
But also to play into the space of making Inferno a fun move for it, I think a good hidden ability here would be No Guard, an ability that is very symmetrical. Machamp has it, and Mega Pidgeot and others, and this ability makes it so that any move you use cannot miss, but any move used against you cannot miss.
Oh.
It's a risk-reward strategy.
Yeah.
Very devilish. Yeah. You make a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
Like, I want to never miss a move. Done. But a move will never miss you either.
I do like that.
Yeah. And, like, people try to use various strategies to get it on Pokemon with one-hit knockout moves, naturally.
Yeah.
The whole point of Inferno is it's a 100 power move. It is a guaranteed burn if it hits.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a 50% chance to hit. It is a 50-50 move.
So that's pretty good.
It's a very good combo, one to have with No Guard.
Yeah.
So, like, again, if you're having this ability, you want it to do more for you than against you.
Yeah.
So make it so this really powerful, cool move will always work for you.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's very good.
And then one other ability that I gravitated towards that I thought was interesting was Berserk. Again, playing into that demonic, devilish sort of space. Originally Drampar's signature ability, but now also on Galarian Moltres.
Interesting.
Which I think our Pokemon here probably have the same color scheme as Galarian Moltres. You know, that mostly black, but that almost pinkish red burning flame effect that's not actually fire because it's not a fire type.
Yeah.
So similar space there. And Berserk's, the effect of Berserk is that when your health is below 50%, it doubles your special attack. All of these abilities potentially boost Inferno in some way.
Yeah. Like, it is built around this particular move. Yeah.
Yes. Granted, they also boost other moves. The first two boost all of your special moves.
Yeah.
And No Guard boosts any move that has a chance to miss.
Yeah.
I'm not sure necessarily if all three of those would be what we want on both stages, but maybe they are. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
The flavor is, especially if we're making it so it's not just the egg pouch, it is...
Yeah.
It is also still part, like, at least partially a ray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm kind of picturing it, something about it makes me think that, like, this isn't, like, a baby Pokemon, the way that, like, some Pokemon are, like, babies.
Despite the fact that it's based on its egg pouch, but yeah.
Yeah, like, I think this is, like, the first evolution is not super weak. Like, this is a decently skilled Pokemon.
It is manipulating and tricking you.
Yes.
It's not a baby, but it resembles one.
Yes.
Oh, fun visual effect. Compare it to Pokemon like Cyndaquil in that whole evolution line, whose flames are not always on.
Mm.
The flame wings of this egg pouch are not always on.
Ooh.
It sprouts the wings when it needs to move, but otherwise, it can look cute just like a little egg pouch and just sit there.
I'm harmless.
Yeah.
But it's not even a baby.
I'm harmless.
Yeah, I'm getting much more like middle stage level of competency rather than...
But it's very small.
Yes.
Because it's tricking you.
Yes.
So yeah, mostly black, especially at that first stage. Again, I think the body itself is entirely black, and it's just it gets that red from those fire wings.
Yeah.
And then the evolve stage has more red on the main body as well. Has some demonic, some evil looking patterns to it.
Yeah.
I think about this, well, have you seen their mouths?
Rays?
Yeah.
Yeah. Their dumb little smiles?
No.
Oh, those.
Yeah, the wide open gaping maw.
I was thinking, like, when their mouths are closed, like, they have just, like, little...
But take this horrifying shape. Google devil ray mouth and look at these images. Take that horrifying thing where you can see whatever that is inside. Is that just the gills?
Yeah. Yeah, they, like, filter water through.
Horrifying. But take that and make the shape of the mouth an evil smile.
Mm.
Like, very much a, just a full-on crescent shape.
Yeah. They're either gills, now that I'm looking at it, because I know that they feed on, like, primarily plankton.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're filter feeders.
Yeah.
So they're, it might not be gills, they may be whatever filtering organ they have. Yeah. Which might be their gills, I don't know.
Devil rays also very much have, instead of having, like, the little doodads at the top,
mm-hmm.
which I think ours still should because they're just horns. Yeah. But it's also got these, like, flappy fins below it that it essentially scooping things into its mouth with, which again, but in contrast, you take those flappy fins and you make them just very much conniving, skeeving hands, essentially. Like,
yeah.
I think this Pokemon could potentially be a partner to someone like Sly.
Yes.
Or it could be a Pokemon that shows up as an outbreak boss.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Both of those could work.
Yeah.
It could even be that this is the first outbreak that Sly causes and has his Pokemon there, and then it's his partner from then. Maybe he catches one there, and if you battle him previously, he doesn't have it, and then it becomes his new ace Pokemon.
Love a character growth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, love that.
In-world storytelling by developing players' parties.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, for some of the particular motions you were doing with your hand. Well, exactly. I was thinking, like, the robot devil from Futurama,
sure.
specifically.
It's because there's the one episode that's all about his robot hands.
It's all, yeah, I think that's
so
what it was.
They deliberately overanimated his hands in that episode.
Yeah. Lots of, like, hand-wringing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Futurama's great. And, I mean, you look at the patterning on their bodies as well.
Mm.
There's a lot of interesting patterns on all kinds of rays.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we just play into that. And Mantyke, in particular, has a cute happy smile on its back.
Yeah.
So we could have something very similar, except it's a very evil smile on its back. A very dark and sinister face.
Yeah.
And that's Diabula and Dante Ray. And he has Dante Ray's Inferno. Dante Ray used Inferno. I'm too happy with both of those names.
It's pretty good. It's pretty
right?
Good.
This Pokemon is like so fully formed in my mind before we even started.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to add about its design and shapes?
Do they have tails? Do they got like the long tails? Because that's definitely got like a little devil.
Well, there you go. You made a little devil horn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, well, maybe the first stage doesn't have much. Maybe it's got something. Yeah. Well, I guess because of the way we described the shape of it, where the tendrily things are both at the front and the back,
mm-hmm.
it's just got the two of those at the back of it.
Yeah.
So maybe they are just tendrily shaped then.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it evolves and they've merged. And
yeah. I mean specifically in the evolved
yes.
form, like that long tail.
And then you give it a pointy triangle tipped tail.
Yeah. it's good. This is one of those that writes itself, Pokemon.
So today, we have crafted our rival characters for Pokemon Marble and Bronze. We have Zeta, your slightly more antagonistic, competitive rival who wants to be the best and is going to be way better than you could ever be.
Her name's going to go down in history.
Zeta. And of course, there's Tony, your much more friendly, perhaps even slightly charming or charmed by you rival.
I do like charming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Charming soft boy.
Yeah, who's so sweet and affectionate and, but also still a rival.
Yeah.
But, you know, unless you want to go on a date sometime, I don't know, maybe you know, go get some pasta.
Why am I in love with both of them?
You want to go get some rigatoni?
Yes. See that you want in? Yes, but not because I like you.
Baka.
We also made two new Pokemon, Diabula and Dantere, based on the Devil Ray and...
The mermaid's pouch that holds their eggs, and just the premise of Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
Dante and his divine comedy.
Yeah.
Dante's Inferno is just the video game.
Yeah.
But it's still fun.
Yeah. And those are dark water type.
So thank you for listening to Pokemakers.
And thank you to the Pocket Podcast Network for hosting us.
You can find other cool shows in the network such as...
Green Mountain Mysteries.
Cult Classics.
And Them's the Facts.
Our theme music is by Mike Freitag. You can find him on Twitter at Admiral Amara.
You can also find us on Twitter at Pokemakers.
And you can find us both individually. I'm at CodenameJD.
And I'm at Pichu, PTCHEW.
Don't forget to check us out in the Pocket Podcast Network community Discord.
Or if you'd prefer, you can send an email to fiercepodcast@gmail.com.
But until next time, gotta make them all.
Crooked Podcast Network. Quality programming right to your pocket. Hey y'all, come right in, make yourself comfortable, because you've found the home for favorite OCs. It's a podcast where I, Christina, talk with creators about their original characters, the good, the bad, and the self-inserts. Characters like Atticus Flint, a planet-hopping mentor dad, Jacques Salacci, a solar punk seafaring chef, Sequinox, a season-themed magical girl squad, Sheena the Talking Cow, and a whole team of post-apocalyptic contract writers. To hear about those OCs and more, listen to us on your local podcatcher of choice, and talk to me on Twitter at WaywardOCPod. I hope you enjoy your stay!